How many of you today know that just because you want something to be doesn't mean that it is, no matter what your heart says? I mean, you can move chess pieces around on the chessboard if you want, but you're not playing chess unless you're playing according to the rules of chess. If you don't play chess by the rules, then you're not playing chess. You're just playing with chess pieces. Now, somehow, some way in this country, I think that we have decided that the definitions and standards, well, that all definitions and standards are subjective and organic. And how someone feels about a rule has become a little bit more important than what the rule itself does or is. But the truth is that there are some rules, some laws, in fact, that can't be broken. There are some rules of life that simply exist apart from the way that anybody feels about them. For example, in science, there is a rule called the first law of thermodynamics. The first law of thermodynamics states this: the total energy of an isolated system is constant. Energy can be transformed from one form to another, but cannot be created or destroyed. And that simply means that in one closed system, the amount of energy will never change. It can be transformed from one state to another, but new energy cannot be generated without something new being introduced into the system. Now, Isaac Newton also added some laws to science, such as Newton's law of motion. It says this: every body persists in a state of being at rest or of moving uniformly straight forward, except insofar as it is compelled to change its state by force impressed. Now, in school, you may have learned that as an object in motion tends to remain in motion, while an object at rest tends to remain at rest until acted upon by an unbalanced force. Either way, it's the same thing. And thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of hours have been spent in scientific labs testing these laws, and no scientist has been able to effectively break either one of them. On Tuesday evening of this past week, I tested Newton's law of motion with my car in a parking lot. You'll look on the screen, you'll see an image here of what the taillight of my car looked like. I challenged Newton's law while backing out of a parking space, while someone else was backing out of her parking space. And on Tuesday night, Isaac Newton won. You can try to break these laws if you want, but you won't succeed. Even if your heart wants to believe something different, you still won't be able to succeed, because the laws themselves, whether it's thermodynamics or motion, they're not good or bad. These laws weren't designed as punishments or ways to constrain you, and they're not laws that you can outsmart. Trying to trick these laws will get you absolutely nowhere. Take, for example, the law of gravity. You can deny gravity if you want. You can proclaim that gravity, that you don't live under the law anymore, therefore gravity doesn't apply to you. But if you were to jump from a second floor window in order to prove the point that you can defy the law of gravity, at some point in your jump, gravity will win. If you break your leg on that jump, that broken leg is not gravity's way of punishing you for daring to challenge its authority. It's simply the result of an action. If you jump from a second story window and broke your leg, you would not be the victim of gravity's wrath. You would be the recipient of the results of your own bad decision. Now, I decided to try to challenge the law of gravity in July of last year. I went to my mailbox to get my mail. I held on loosely to my mailbox with my right hand, and I balanced all of this on my left foot on the cement curb in front of the mailbox. And you know what? Well, turns out you can't balance all of this on a small portion of the curb with your foot. I didn't know that. I thought I could. I thought that in the battle of gravity versus Steve, Steve could win. But I was wrong. Gravity won, and I broke my leg right here trying to get my mail. Gravity won. Steve Zero. Well, this weekend we celebrate Memorial Day, a day to honor those who've made the ultimate sacrifice for the preservation of our freedom. And it's very, very important. We have tremendous freedoms in this country. We celebrate the freedom of religious expression that allows us to meet here today. This kind of meeting can't always take place everywhere in the world. There are places where this would be illegal. We celebrate the freedom that we have to vote in free elections. Even if you are not overly excited about all your choices, you should still be grateful about the fact that we have the freedom to choose. Freedom is a good thing, and we should be thankful for our freedom. But remember that freedom is a two-sided coin. Because if you are free to choose, that means that there's a choice. And with every choice comes a consequence. You can choose to jump out of a second-story window. You have the freedom to make that choice. But with every choice, there's a consequence. So you can't gripe about the consequence when it's a direct result of your own choice. Just like the guy in the video that we watched earlier, you can ignore the rules of chess and do whatever your heart tells you to do. But if you ignore the rules of chess, you are choosing not to play chess. You are choosing to play with chess pieces. And you can't win at chess unless you play by chess's rules. So look at our scripture this morning, if you will, in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. The scripture says this: "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Every time that you and I make a decision, there will be a consequence. The picture that this scripture passage paints for us really is that of a farmer. He's out planting seeds in the ground. And whatever seed that farmer plants is going to determine what will grow from that seed. You know, you can't plant sunflower seeds and then harvest watermelon. You can't harvest tomato unless you plant tomato seeds in the ground. And for many years, I've really held on to something that Charles Stanley once said, which was this: you will reap what you sow. You will reap more than you sow, and you will reap later than you sow. So let's look at these three this morning. Number one, you will reap what you sow. That is, whatever you choose to do and say will determine an outcome or consequence of some kind. You will reap more than you sow. There is no plant that springs up from any seed that is smaller than the seed itself. It's always bigger. You will reap later than you sow. What you reap is never fully instantaneous. You plant a seed in the ground, it takes time for that seed to grow, and it takes time for the seed to germinate into whatever it was predetermined to be. So when you think about these three things, reaping what you sow, reaping more than you sow, reaping later than you sow, let's take a look at it like this. Knowing that every action and every choice has a consequence, you will reap what you sow. Now, for many people, we have mistakenly put this passage of Scripture in Galatians in the same category as the law of sin and death. Therefore, we believe ourselves to be under grace. We're not under the law. So laws like this don't apply to us. After all, we're covered. But remember this: sowing and reaping is not the same kind of law as the law of sin and death. Sowing and reaping is about consequences. Sin and death is about punishment. Your sin against God has separated from you from God. And the Bible says that the wages of sin, the price that you pay for sin, is death. By this definition, that means eternal, permanent separation from God. The punishment for your sin is eternal separation from God in hell and no relationship with God here on earth. Jesus, however, became sin. He became your sin. even though he had never sinned himself. He took that punishment for your sin on the cross and was separated from God. On the third day, he rose again, conquering death, and by his death, the debt of your punishment has been paid. If you are a believer and follower in Jesus Christ today, if you know for sure that your sins have been fully paid for by the death of Jesus, you know that you are completely forgiven because of what Jesus did for you on the cross and through his resurrection, then you are no longer punished for your sins. God has punished Jesus in your place. That means you never have to look in the mirror again and ask yourself the question, why is God punishing you? Look at John chapter 5, verse 24, and you'll see that it says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life." So even as a believer in Jesus Christ, if you decide to jump out of a second story window, and by the way, don't anybody go home and try that, even though that's the predominant illustration so far. But if you were to try that, the broken leg that you would receive would not be God's way of punishing you. As a believer, we constantly make the mistake of believing that every circumstance that comes our way is somehow God's way of punishing us because he doesn't like us. But that's not true. That's what happens when you lump together the law of sin and death with the law of sowing and reaping. So if the broken leg isn't God's way of punishing us, then what is it? Well, sowing and reaping is a reality that has been put in motion by God. It's a principle of how things in this world function. And it's a truth about life and living. It actually, by the way, applies to everyone, whether believers or not. Don't confuse the discipline and correction of God in your life with the punishment of God for your sin. Because you are not punished for your sin does not mean you're not going to be corrected in your behavior. Do not walk away from here believing that God is not going to correct you, because correcting you and punishing you are two very different things. God has set in motion the function of sowing and reaping as a way to correct behavior with the consequence of every action, but still allowing you to choose to obey or disobey. The results of your disobedience or your obedience are not on you or not on God. They're on you. See, God gives you the choice to sow what you want to sow. You can sow what he wants you to sow. You can sow what you want to sow. Whatever the consequences are of your choices are on you, not on God. You can't go to the mirror and blame God for not liking you because your choices went bad. Does that make sense? Maybe, maybe not. Okay. You're pondering. To me, I look to Hebrews 12 to get some clarity on this, verses 3 through 11. If you have it in your Bible, turn to that this morning or have it on your device. Hebrews 12, verses 3 through 11. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, have you not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood? And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? And the exhortation is this: my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all disciples seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit as in sowing and reaping the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So this passage in Hebrew, this is not about God's anger and wrath. It's not about God dissolving his relationship with you because you've somehow disappointed him. It's about allowing you to experience the consequences of your own choices so that you can make the decision to correct your own behavior. I mean, remember the broken taillight I mentioned in my car? Ever since, by the way, that happened on Tuesday, I have been driving much more carefully. I mean, I suppose that I could look at that incident as some sort of interruption in my life, something that happened that ruined my day, and I suppose I could chalk it up to one more thing that God is heaping on my life because of his immense displeasure with me. But what if God knew that I was starting to develop very bad habits in my driving? Habits that were going to cause a potentially serious accident. And instead of having an angel jump out in front of my car on Tuesday night and preventing this mishap from happening, what if God let it happen so that I could choose to be more cautious? And what if he knew that I was going to need that extra caution later on to make a quicker, life-saving decision behind the wheel of the car? What if this mishap on Tuesday was not about punishment and wrath, but what if it was about God's correction in my life and letting me reap the broken taillight that comes from sowing seeds of not paying attention while driving? I mean, if you think of every decision that you make, every choice that you make, if you think of it as a seed that you are planting, then every time you say something, you'll understand there's a consequence. Every time you watch something on television, you'll understand there's a consequence. Every time you communicate something to one of your children, every time you make a choice about homework or studying, every time you do or say anything, you're planting a seed. And that seed will become something because you always reap whatever you sow. Look at the scripture, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 8. Whoever sows injustice will reap calamity, and the rod of his fury will fail. If you plant seeds of injustice, that is, if you choose to treat people badly, you will reap bad circumstances in your life, because bad attitudes bring calamity, because you always reap what you sow. You also always reap more than you sow. This is a packet of corn kernels, corn seeds. And a little corn seed is about that big, almost impossible to see from where you are. Now, I prefer candied corn to kernels of corn, mainly because I like to stick to the four major food groups, which are candy corn, candy canes, and syrup, thank you, those of you who have watched the movie Elf. But this little kernel that I showed you will grow into something that could be as much or more than 6 feet tall. That's because you always reap more than you sow. In Leviticus chapter 26, in verses 3 through 5, it says this: if you walk in my statutes and observe my commandments and do them, then I will give you your rains in their season, and the land shall yield its increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last to the time of the great harvest, and the great harvest shall last to the time for sowing. And you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land securely. All the things that are listed in this passage are greater than the initial sowing, because according to the scripture, simply obeying God, walking in his statutes and observing his commandments will result in life-giving rain in the appropriate season, and the lands will yield an increase in crops, and the trees will yield an increase in fruit, so much so that you will have, according to this passage, all the supplies that you need until the next harvest. Just obey God, and the harvest of that obedience will be huge, and you'll have everything that you need. It also, by the way, works in the other way. Because you will reap more than you sow. If you sow seeds that are bad, you will reap an abundance of a bad harvest. Leviticus chapter 26, In another spot in that chapter, in verses 15 and 16, it says this, "And if you reject my decrees and you abhor my laws and fail to carry out my commands and so violate my covenant, then I will do this to you. I will bring on you sudden terror, wasting diseases and fever that will destroy your sight and sap your strength. You will plant seeds in vain because your enemies will eat it." If you disobey God's commands, here's a healthy list of very bad results, including enemies stealing away the very things that you need. You will not only reap more than you sow, but you're also going to reap later than you sow. A seed that's planted in the ground takes time to grow. Sometimes, in fact, most of the time, the bad seeds that we sow do not sprout right away. Now, several years ago, my wife and I went to go visit family in Texas. We did not have children at that time, and we went out to visit all of her sides of the family tree out in San Antonio, Texas. And in order to be fair to everyone, we kind of carved out time for each branch, if you will, of the family tree. And on one particular Saturday, there was one family member that wanted to take us to breakfast, and another family member that wanted to take us to lunch, and another family member that wanted to take us to supper. So we did that. The one that wanted to take us to lunch took us to Denny's. No, breakfast. Excuse me. Took us to Denny's because they believed that the greatest thing on earth was the Grand Slam breakfast. So they bought us this giant pancake, egg, biscuit, sausage experience at Denny's. And well, the next element of the family wanted to treat us to lunch at Bill Miller's Barbecue. You kind of have to be from Texas to know what that is, but it's kind of a staple out there. And so we got loads of barbecue and lots of side items that were deep fried in a lot of stuff that you deep fry things in, and lots of butter on the table and things like that. And for dinner, another element of the family wanted to take us to the Alamo Cafe, which is, again, you have to be from San Antonio to know what that is, but it's an extremely popular, very good Mexican restaurant there where we, you know, got chili rellenos and burritos and cheese and rice and fried ice cream. And do you know what it feels like to take a week's worth of calories and a year's supply of sodium and put it into one day? That evening, Carol and I were laying in the bed. We had gotten a hotel room because we stayed in the hotel, so we wanted to equally offend all family members by not staying with anyone. So we just stayed in the hotel room. We were lying in the hotel bed that night, praying that death would come soon. Each of those meals did not necessarily make our stomach hurt, but because you reap later than you sow, and you reap more than you sow. That night, we just felt terrible. We just felt awful. And you can survive, I think, a day of overeating. I don't recommend it, but you can survive that. But the principle that applies there can also apply to much more devastating decisions in your life. People will find themselves in the throes of addiction and fractured relationships because things weren't bad while they were sowing. It only started to get bad when they started to reap the harvest of their choices and decisions. Then they realized how bad they had really been. And I want you to think in terms today of something very, very practical, because most of the time when I hear this topic of sowing and reaping, it's generally about sowing bad things and reaping bad things. But keep in mind that you can work this principle in your favor. Every decision that you make will have a consequence. There's a corresponding result to everything that you say and do. So if that's true, then instead of making decisions based on what you want to do, make decisions based on what you want to reap. Instead of making decisions based on what you want to do, make decisions based on what you want to reap. If every decision you make every day will have a consequence, then why not let your life be governed by the outcomes that you're seeking? Now think about what you want to reap in your relationship to God and in your relationship to others. Go back once again, if you will, to our key passage in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. The passage says this: "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as you have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are in the household of faith. In your relationship to God, sow to the Spirit and do good. In other words, do these three things. First of all, seek God. Secondly, listen to God. And then thirdly, obey God. Spend time every single day seeking God. Seek Him in His Word. Seek Him in prayer. His Word says that if you will seek Him, then you will find Him. It never ceases to amaze me how many people will come to me with lives in disarray, telling me that they don't understand what it is that God is doing. And when I ask the question, tell me how you are seeking Him, the answer often is almost nothing. The excuses are, well, I'm a busy mom, so I don't have time to just sit around and read my Bible. I've tried studying the Bible before, but it really didn't do anything for me. I do seek God. I come to church several times a year, and I had a grandmother who used to teach Sunday school. Well, if you're going to reap a harvest based on what you sow, are you right now sowing seeds of seeking God? Can you honestly say that anyone who looks at your life would say that you are consistently investing in your relationship to God? And I promise you, you can work this principle in a great way in your life. So do this. Seek Him at the level and velocity with which you want to find Him. And you will be transformed. Secondly, listen to God. Expect God to speak to you as you seek Him. And then listen to what He says. Dr. Adrian Rogers once said this. He was asked the question, when God speaks to you, do you hear Him in an audible voice? And his answer was, when God speaks to me, it's much louder than that. If you seek Him, you will find Him, and it will be louder than an audible voice. When you find Him, you will hear Him speak to you. You'll hear Him speak through His Word, through your prayers, through the wisdom of growing believers around you. And you will hear Him speak to you in your spirit. Thirdly, obey God. Interestingly enough, seeking Him and hearing Him do not amount to anything unless you do what He says. The process of seeking and listening and obeying all together is the spiritual seed planting that will result in a joy-filled, peace-filled, God-filled life for you. Question this morning is, do you want that? I mean, would you like to live without fear and anxiety? Would you like to wake up every day knowing and trusting and believing that God has a plan for you and knowing enough about that plan to take steps towards it? Would you like to live life in such a way that you always know what you need to know and you have no worries about the things you don't know? Let me say that one again. Would you like to live life in such a way that you always know what you need to know and that you have no worries about the things you don't know? Well, instead of making decisions based on what you want to do, make decisions based on what you want to reap. Instead of living life trying to skirt the law of sowing and reaping, work it for your own spiritual and emotional benefit. And what would those benefits be? I think those benefits to me are summed up in Psalm 121. And in Psalm 121, listen to what it says. It says this, I will lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? Does your help come from the hills? No, my help comes from the Lord, the one who made the heaven and the earth. He will not let my foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will never slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. He is the sun the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil, and he will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So does that describe you? Does Psalm 121 provide an accurate description of your life? Do you know and sense the calming presence of the Lord in your life? Do you know that you are consistently making choices every day that are going to result in a harvest in your life that you're going to be happy with? And are you constantly sowing seeds daily that will reap peace and joy and wisdom in your life? One of the things that we do when we take what we perceive as the negative circumstances of our life, when we take those and we blame those on God's relationship to us. In other words, we say, this is happening to me because God doesn't love me. This is happening to me because of God's disappointment in me. One of the things that we do when we do that is we're essentially taking away our choice to change and declaring this is the way it is. I'm too unlovable for God to love, so I guess I just have to bear this cross. When God would say, you know, you've had choices, you're in the midst of the results of the choices that you made. You can make a choice to change. You can make a choice not to change. But don't blame me. You're the one who did this to yourself. So sometimes we hide behind what we feign as our identity in Christ in order to escape having to make the choice to change. But what if you could make the choice to change? I mean, what if through the power of the Spirit of God in you and on your life, you could make the choice to say, I'm going to reap something different. I'm going to reap a better harvest than I've been reaping. I'm going to plant seeds that will reap something better in my life. I'm going to walk closer to God. I'm going to seek Him at the velocity with which I want to find Him. This is not half-hearted prayers and a little bit of scripture reading in your life. This is full-on, full-force, going after God as if my life depended on it. If those are the seeds you're going to plant in your relationship with God, what do you think you're going to reap? What do you think the harvest of that will be? We have some of our middle schoolers in the room today. If you don't like middle schoolers, some of the results that happen with the choices that you make, like maybe, I mean, you're all wonderful kids, but you probably have friends who have been on restriction and things like that. None of you, I know. But you probably have had friends that have had restrictions as a result of choices and things like that. I mean, here is a thought. It's just a thought. It's way out there. But here's a thought. If you don't like the consequences, don't do those things again that got you those consequences. Now, adults in the room, do you wish that you knew that when you were younger? How many of you would say, I really wish that I knew a little bit more about the consequences of my actions? And how many in the room said, you know what, if it were simply as easy as choosing not to do this and to do this instead, I think that makes sense. I think I could do that. Well, that's what we're hoping to call you to today, to make the choice of better seeds. Sow the seeds that will bring the harvest in your life that you know will bring the peace and the comfort of Psalm 121. With the velocity with which you want to find Him, seek Him. With the velocity with which you want to obey Him, listen to what He says and do what He says. This morning, we want to give you the opportunity to make that change. We're going to join in prayer here in just a moment. There are many in this room who probably would join with me in saying there are not just one, But there's a multitude of choices that we need to look at and alter and change in our life. Some of you, it may be, you know, a few changes here and there. For others of you, it may be radical changes in your life that may result in something very, very different and very, very positive for you. Know this, you will reap what you sow. You can't escape that. That is not a rule or law that you can break. You will reap more than you sow. And you're going to reap later than you sow. So why not today make the choice, instead of doing the things that you want to do, make decisions based on what you want to reap. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you so much this morning for the opportunity that you give us to open up your word and to see the truth there, to know that you have freed us as believers in Jesus Christ. You have freed us to make choices, even choices of obedience and disobedience. We know that the consequences of what we do are on us, not you. But we also know that through the power of your Spirit, we can always choose better things. So this morning, for anyone here today who needs to make radical decisions of change in their life, I pray that you would give them the guidance and direction to do that. For people here today, Father, who do not feel and know that connection to you relationally, ones who would say, I know that I am not simply living with day-to-day consequences of choices. I know that I am separated from God because of my sin. I'm still living under the punishment of God because I've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life. I pray that for those individuals, they would make that decision and change as well. And for all of us this morning, Father, that we would spend the rest of the day today, tomorrow, and all throughout the week making decisions based on what it is we want to reap in our relationship with you and with others. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.